2 and verse 15. 的装山的事，他们不信。The Lord knew the things of their face, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ be heard from the mission day. The foundation of God standeth sure, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Now here is a sure foundation, not only a sure eternal Savior, but a sure foundation. Now what is that foundation that is so sure? I believe it is the completed and finished work of the Lord Jesus when He died upon the cross. He laid the foundation in His own work, so that Christ in all the value of accomplished atonement becomes the foundation upon which we build our hopes from eternity. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now here is a sure foundation. We may tremble on the ledge, but it will never tremble under us. It is a rock foundation. And the Lord said, upon this church I will build, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A rock foundation that will never move. We live in a changing world. We live in a world where foundations are being shaken wherever we look. But here is one foundation that will never be shaken. Christ in all the value of accomplished atonement. And the Word of God says, this foundation is sure. And it's upon this foundation that we build our hopes for eternity. And let's look at another sure thing in Hebrews chapter 6. The book of the Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in the dark within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now when the Bible speaks of hope, it's not like hope in earth. For instance, we live today and we hope perhaps that it won't be so stormy tomorrow, but it will be. And our hopes may be disappointed. But when the Bible speaks of hope, it means something that is absolutely sure of realization. Now I'm going to look at four pictures in this chapter that describe the eternal security that we have in Christ. Now the first picture is that of a builder. And the builder has laid the foundation and then moves to build the superstructure. That's the first picture. And then the second picture is that of a manslayer. And that manslayer flees to the city of refuge. Then the third picture is that of a garden where the soil in which every pleasant plant grows is the soil of the new nature. The last picture is that of a ship upon the sea of life, and which has cast its anchor to grip the solid rock within the veil. Now that's the picture that we have in our chapter. And think that in the first measure, that of a builder, meaning, therefore, we bring the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, on faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permits. That is, we will go on to build the superstructure of Christian character. We will note three aspects here of life. Life that changes. Life that undergoes a new birth. First of all, there is an outward attitude toward God. We meet of repentance and faith. Now this sums up Paul's gospel. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the outward attitude that takes place in our soul toward God. Repentance and faith. The second is an outward attitude toward the world. We read of baptisms. And Christian baptism is what we experience after we have trusted Christ. And we receive the Holy Spirit to take up His residence in the soul. And that is our altered attitude toward the world. So I bid farewell to the ways of the world, to walk in them nevermore. Now the third aspect of this altered attitude is toward eternity. We read of the resurrection of the dead, and we read of eternal judgment. And so we make a reasonable turn toward God, toward the world, and toward our thoughts about eternity. And in our conversion, we lay a foundation for a Christian life upon which the superstructure of Christian character can be built. Now the second picture is that of a manslayer. We read of the unconscious crucifying of the Lord of flesh, and then we read of a refuge in verse 18. Now when a manslayer was guilty of slaying someone unwittingly in the Old Testament, there were six cities of refuge. There were three on one side of Jordan and three on the other side of Jordan. And these were so interspersed through the inheritance of Israel that they were always near. A city of refuge was always available. And do you know what a manslayer, an influence? It was simply a plea of guilt. I have slain a man. Now he didn't murder the man, it was manslaughter. And his plea of guilt brought him inside the city of refuge, and were told he was safe as long as the high priest lived. Now you and I have been guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone may say that I never did it, the Romans did it, the Jews did it, Pilate did it, I did it not. And let us think, what was it that crucified the Lord of life and glory? It was your sins. It was my sins. These were the means that nailed our Savior to the cross, and I read my guilt in the blood that was shed. I need a refuge. smooth. But that it helps the slave. It's the very one that becomes my refuge. And I am safe in Christ as long as he, our great high priest, lives. And he lives forevermore. Now the third picture is one of a garden. And in this garden, there are pleasant plants that may grow for the glory of God. The soil in which they grow is the soil of the image. The faith there is within every one of us, the soil of a new nature. It may produce thorns. It may produce nettles. Those things that prick other people. These are going to be burned, and everything which they produces is death time for the fire in the day of our Lord. But oh, thank God, there is the new nature. And in the soil of the new nature, pleasant plants may grow for him. What are they? Love and joy and peace, long suffering, gentleness, and goodness, meekness, and faithfulness, and self-control. And these are the plants, the pleasant plants, that may be cultivated as they grow in the soil of the new nature. The life again is pictured as a ship. A ship upon a railway sea. A ship that would be without direction were it not for an anchor cast. And we know that this anchor is cast within the bay. Every other anchor goes down. But this anchor goes right through outer space, as it were, and it grips the solid rock within the bay. And our little bark is being drawn day by day to the haven of rest. And when we get there, that will be the realization of our hope. A hope that is absolutely sure. And a hope that will be sure of realization in the day when our Savior comes. And then from the another sure thing from 2 Peter 1. The 2nd book of Peter, chapter 1, and verse 19. And he is a sure guy. And we do need a sure guy. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereon we do well, thus ye take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Now let me read this by putting the parentheses in its right place. We have unto a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed. In your hearts. And then, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. Now the day star will not arise in our heart, it will arise in the sky. But we take heed to the word of prophecy in our heart, and it becomes our guide. Now we are told in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. I think that means of any private origination. The prophecy of the Word of God never originated in the minds of God's people. They were not interpreting their own thoughts when they gave to you and me the Word of God. They simply gave to human beings what God gave them. And they voted them. And very often they had to say what they wrote themselves. Now the last verse of this chapter proves that. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man. It's not the interpretation of man. It's not his private property. But only when God spake, as they were men, by the Holy Ghost. Now the Bible comes to give away. God breathed. And that is why there is the vitality of the life of God in our life. That's nothing in the other group. And that breath of God has given this vitality and infallibility to the Word of God, so that we can say of this precious Word, it is absolutely sure. It is absolutely sure. Heaven and earth may pass away, but God says, my word shall not pass away. Now here is our compass for life, the symbol of life. It will guide us aright. It will never, never guide us wrong. And as we take heed to this word in our hearts, we will do so in the light of the dawn of a better day, when the day star comes to receive us unto himself. Now let us think of another sure thing from Isaiah chapter 32. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 32. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation, and in sureness, and in quiet resting places. What a lovely verse that is. My people shall dwell in peaceable habitation. And in shadows, and in quiet, resting places. Here's something of a peaceable habitation, where we may quiet our souls, and be assured that all is well, for time and for eternity. What is going to feel of these dwelling places? Under the term, the word rest, quiet, resting places. What are they in our life? Let us think of the rest of redemption. The Lord says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here is our rest of redemption. It's a rest of conscience. It is a rest from the tormenting burden of sin. And we enter into that resting place when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there is another resting place. And in the same chapter, the next verse we read, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now the first rest is a gift. The second rest is a discovery. Ye shall başlıyor.
Where there is a sign of the text.
Çocuk sadece anında şey. Long sadece anında kurum. And it's a very, very boundaries are turned upside down. Long boundaries are destroyed. No longer respected in our work. Vice and crime go unpunished. Virtues go unrewarded. And in this soup, where everything seems topsy-turvy, we wonder if God is still on the throne. But we are ones on the shoe that the judgment of God is according to the truth. We know the silence of heaven is going to be broken. And God is going to put everything in its right place. Crime will then be punished. Virtue will then be rewarded. And thank God, when our Savior takes the reins of government of this earth, he will turn everything right, and moral values will take on their proper significance again. Now just remember, as I close, it's in the Book of Proverbs, chapter 11.
Inheritance, he rehearses our whole history. For 40 years he
the bishop, on the terms of all of their failures, on the terms of all of their successes, on their biggest history of being leaders, they cross the Jordan and become the faithful possession of their inheritance. You know, the judgment seat of Christ will be our future honor. The great rehearsal will take place. We shall see our minds for what they are worth in the sight of God. On the day when that rehearsal is over, we shall take possession of the inheritance that God has given to us. And what a day that will be. To the Lord, I would like to say that we rewards at the judgment seat of Christ are linked with the kingdom that is going to be set up on this earth. We shall live and reign with him 1,000 years, as well as forever and ever, that takes us right into the great eternal state. And when we think that we are going to live and reign with Christ, we know we feel like James and John. We'd like to have the top positions in the kingdom. But the Lord said, that's for my Father to get. But there is one thing we may claim, and that is that as we are true to our Lord and to his word, true to the Savior that died for us, faithful to him in every way that is possible for a human being to be, then when we meet him at the judgment seat, we will hear as well done, thou good and faithful servant, and we know that appraisal, that well done, will be worth everything that we may have sacrificed here. May the Lord help us, those of us that belong to him, just to live with for him, with eternity